Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Luke. As you know, we've been in the book of Luke for a number of months. We'll be in Luke again today, chapter 3. If you're really handy, you can turn to the book of James, also chapter 2, because we'll be going there also. Real. The title of our message today is Real Faith That Really Works. Real Faith That Really Works. Real sells better. Real coffee. Real butter. Real leather. Real Coke. And real Coke is never diet. Do I hear an amen on that? You cannot make a dark pop diet. Because you need real sugar. Real men don't eat quiche. They don't eat tofu. Real. How real are you today as a believer? Shall we stand together in the book of Luke chapter 3? Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that were come forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers. Now can you imagine the pastor of this church calling you vipers? O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, the pastor of this church would tell you that we need to flee from the wrath to come. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Bless the reading of your word, both here in Luke and in other places. And may we say when we leave this day, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love and the salvation we have. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. In verse 8, we find, bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. Now, which of those words should we highlight? Repentance? Do you think that's worthy of highlighting? Absolutely. Bring forth. We need to bring something. Yes, highlight that. Therefore, there needs to be a therefore in our lives. The fruits that we are to bring, that's important, but worthy. I highlighted the word worthy. They show forth something. Someone as well said, show me you have repented by your actions. How many husbands or wives have had to repent to their mate and said, I won't do that ever again. And then 3 weeks later, they catch the husband with his hand in the cookie jar again. You know, there are times we say we won't do it, but we do. But we need to have repentance in our lives, something that is a 180-degree turn and not returning to it. But notice it says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. James and chapter 2, if you would, please. James and chapter 2. James chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. James 2:14. Martin Luther struggled with the book of James. He called it the gospel of straw. And being that his background was of a Catholic faith, and as many of you can attest, their doctrine on salvation is wrong. It's works-based. He struggled with this. But we're going to explain a little bit how James is going to talk about works. And we find in verse 14, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" The New Testament over and over again proclaims that salvation is by grace through faith and is not of works, lest any man should boast. Yet James proclaims the need for works. We can ask the simple one-word question, why? And the answer is to prove your faith. We find that Paul taught faith fighting Jewish legalism. James taught works fighting indifference, the belief that it doesn't matter what you do as long as you believe. It's much like today where many churches simply don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to offend anybody. I'm okay, you're okay, just believe. And so they act like the world for most of the week, and then they give the Lord an hour or two on Sunday. There's no faith being shown there. You can see that Paul and James were both fighting for truth and proper Christian conduct. They were fighting two different enemies. One was fighting against Jewish laws and circumcision. The other was fighting for the Christian lifestyle and the acts of love, the Christian lifestyle. Do you believe that Christians should act differently than the world? See, there should be a difference. Unfortunately, in many cases, there is no difference. Paul was focusing on the root of salvation, what happens internally. James is focusing on the fruit of salvation, that which happens externally. See, it's one thing to know Christ as your Savior. It's another thing to act like you know Christ as your Savior. Jesus said, now Jesus said, not Paul Madonna, Jesus said, as recorded in Matthew 7:20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." The best way to know a tree is an apple tree is by what? The apples on the tree. We as believers are to have some fruit. Paul, how you can know you are a Christian. James, how you can show you are a Christian. Let me give you an example. How many of you have a t-shirt for the Detroit Tigers? There you have your true fans, folks. I don't have a t-shirt for the Detroit Tigers. Do I watch the Detroit Tigers? Yeah, I watch them. But some people bleed orange and blue. They are Tiger fans, and they will tell you so. They're glad that Jason, what's his name? Verlander isn't pitching in the World Classics. Oh, it's Justin. I'm sorry. Did I say Jason? That kind of shows you where I am, folks. Yes. You know, can you show that you're a Christian? Paul, how to become a Christian, James how to behave as a Christian. Have you ever seen a teen? No, we won't use teenagers. Have you ever seen a kid in a cart at a grocery store and they were behaving like they belonged in a cage? They were not behaving. Well, why weren't they behaving? Because they haven't been taught. You know what oftentimes it is? The parent is afraid of their kid. They haven't been taught. James was teaching them how to behave as a Christian. It was not a confrontation, but the next step in their Christian growth and walk. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians, and keep your place here in James. We will be back. But Ephesians chapter 2. The other day I was having some work done on my mouth, or in my mouth, I should say, on a tooth. About 25 years ago, I had my first cavity. And then I found out by going to the dentist that the filling in that tooth had somehow either shrunk or shifted or something, and I had more decay, and they had to take the filling out, and they had to take out then the decay. And being that I am the son of my dad, I don't like dentists. And he said, do you want some of this nitrous? And I said, sure, anything that's going to calm me, because I hate. Did I tell you I hate going to the dentist? And so anyways, they gave me some of that to relax me, and they did their work, and afterwards they were doing a few things, and the assistant was then talking to someone else, and they were talking, and I thought to myself, am I dreaming, or are they talking in another language? And a little bit later, I said to the assistant, I don't think you were giving me that much stuff. I said, were you talking in another language? And she laughed and she goes, yes. She goes, I was talking in Albanian. And I thought to myself, well, that's good. She goes, I'm from Albania. And she goes, the woman I was talking with knows Albanian. And so I turned to the dentist and I said, do you know Albanian? He goes, no, I only know English. And it has well been said that if someone only knows one language, they're from the United States. Yes. But aren't you glad you know English? How many of you remember in English you were taught prepositional phrases? Do you remember that? Would you raise your hand? You remember prepositional phrases. Do you remember you're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition? Do you realize how often we do? Prepositions. We're going to read Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, and we're going to find three prepositional phrases. Now, may I say this? A prepositional phrase means to put in front. It's a linguistic form that combines with a noun or a pronoun. And there's going to be three prepositional phrases as we read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace, number one, are you saved through faith. Number two, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Number three, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Three prepositional phrases, by grace, through faith, unto good works. And you better keep them in the right order. You better not try to put works in front of faith or grace. We are saved by grace through faith unto what? Good works, so that we can bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. We need to get them in the right order and keep them in the right order. So how does a believer show that he is truly a believer? Back to the book of James, if you would, please. James chapter 2, number 1. Real faith is not something you say. Real faith is not something you say. Notice in verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? though a man say. Note, it doesn't say that he has faith. He just is claiming he has faith. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is the Father's will? That you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is his will. That you come to know him as your personal Savior. Not just because you have a bumper sticker on your car, does that make you a Christian? A bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. Or follow me to such and such a church. Does that make you a Christian? No, you can have all the bumper stickers you want. In fact, sometimes I wish some people would take their bumper stickers off. Because I think, you're not acting like a Christian. That's why I don't have any on my car. That was a joke, folks. And not just because someone holds up a John 3:16 sign and is shown on Monday Night Football, does that make them a Christian? That doesn't make you a Christian. Reverend Don Smith says, not everyone who is a professor is a possessor. Not everyone that professes to be a Christian, folks, is really a Christian. It's just talk. And there are many that are here today and gone tomorrow. Real faith is not just something you feel. Folks, there are some religions that are based on nothing more than feelings. But a quiver in your liver doesn't make you a Christian. Verses 15 and 16 talk about a brother or sister who is naked or destitute of food, and all you say unto them is, depart in peace. That doesn't show your Christianity. Don't confuse emotions and sentiment with faith. We need to remember that our faith is not based on emotions, for it accomplishes nothing. What good is it to say to someone, I feel for you, when you've just seen them fall down a flight of steps as you step over them and continue on your way? You need to be willing to help out. I read to you from the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We are to be more than just something that we feel. It needs to be something that we do. Real faith is not something that you think. You know, that can be an intellectual trap. Stimulate me mentally, but don't expect any commitment from me. Show me with your works that you know Christ, because it's awful hard for you to show me without them. Show me with your deeds that you have accepted Christ as your Savior, because it's pretty hard to show me that if you're not doing anything. Real faith is visible. Someone has said, this is not original with me. I wish I'd have thought it, but I didn't. Let us not be Lady Clairol Christians. Nobody knows for sure. Some of you will get that later on. God knows if you're a Christian. He knows. I quote, faith is weightless, odorless, invisible. So anybody can claim to have it. How do we know for sure? Well, the fact of the matter is, show me. Someone has said that faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you can see the results. We need to be healthy spiritually. Did we not sing as a child the song, if you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. We are to show it. Our faith is not just something, our faith is not something you say or feel, think, or even believe. See, your faith, the devils believe in a God, and they tremble. But the demons then honor God. Just because I believe in a man named Hitler, does that make me a Nazi? No. I believe there was a man named Brigham Young. But I certainly am not a Mormon. You know, we find that it's more than the fact that you believe there is a God. Have you trusted God? One of the main complaints we hear at pastors' meetings when pastors are preaching is the easy believism in America today. I had someone stop by the church a couple of years ago, and they stopped and they wanted to come in and look at our auditorium. And she said, I remember going to a church like this when I was a kid, but she says, unfortunately, we now go to one of these churches that just is fluff. It makes you feel good. I tell you what, when Jesus Christ walked this earth, he didn't preach to make people feel good. He preached teaching people they needed to repent and they needed to get things right in their lives. We see today a lack of commitment to the things of the Lord. We see a lack of concern. We see a lack of action. When Promise Keepers were in their heydays, they did a survey and found that those that attended Promise Keepers on Friday night and Saturday, less than 60% went to church the following day. Those that proclaimed they were going to be different the following day, they weren't even in church. Folks, you can say one thing, but we better be acting in a right and proper way. See, real faith is something you do. Something you do. We'll give you two illustrations as we read here from the book of James chapter 2, beginning at verse 21 down through verse 26. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We need to be doing something for our Lord. There needs to be concern. There needs to be commitment. There needs to be action. You know, it's one thing to say, yes, the world needs the gospel. It's another thing to come to a mission conference, and another thing to give throughout the year so that people can come to the hearing of the gospel and coming to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Let us look at these two individuals, Abraham and Rahab. Two different people, one a man, one a woman, one a Jew, one a Gentile, one a patriarch, one a prostitute, one a somebody, and one a nobody. One a major character in the Bible, and one a minor character in the Bible. We see that Abraham, by his actions, showed his faith in the Lord. He listened to the Lord when he was told to leave the land of his birth and to go to a land where he would be given it. We find that we see his faith. And this was not something of his salvation, but as a result of his salvation. In Hebrews 11, we see his faith by his actions, including his actions on Mount Moriah, where he was willing to sacrifice his son, believing that the Lord would raise up that son because he had promised him a nation. Genesis 22:5 says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." He knew that he was going to sacrifice his son, but yet he says, "We'll come back, you just wait here." On Rahab's part, she had faith in the God of the Hebrews and acted accordingly to the saving of her family and even to being in the family of your future Savior, Jesus. How strong is your faith today? Are we willing to pray to the Lord? Are we willing to give to Him? Are we willing to follow Him? In conclusion, let me give you an illustration. In 1844, anybody here in 1844? In 1844, famous tightrope walker, that's tightrope walker, Charles Blondin, had a rope strung across the Niagara River Gorge above the falls. You've all been to Niagara Falls. Anybody here never been to Niagara Falls? I'm sorry. Maybe you can go next week. Hey, going in the winter is a special time. You ought to see it in the winter. It is amazing. But he had this rope strung across the Niagara River Gorge. Thousands of people lined up on the American and Canadian sides of the falls to watch Charles Blondin walk slowly across the gorge on a rope. I wouldn't do that on a 4 foot wide bridge, walk right across the falls, but he walked on a rope. In fact, when he reached the other side, he turned around and walked back. He did this 5 times. That's 10 trips across the gorge. People are cheering. People are just in amazement. Charles Blondin then got a wheelbarrow, filled it with dirt, and walked across the gorge, stopping in the middle for effect. And did this a number of times. When someone shouted, "I believe you could do that all day," Charles Blondin stopped, emptied the dirt out of the barrel, and said, "Really? Get in." Folks, talk is cheap. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "But let a man examine himself." If you were to examine yourself, would you say, "Yes, I am doing all I can for the Lord"? Faith without works is dead. 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Do you know the Lord today is your Savior? Now that's the most important question you'll ever have to answer in life. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if you do, are you bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance? Shall we stand together? We're singing a song of invitation, number 17, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." Are you willing to allow the Lord to have your own way? Or His own way, I mean. Quite often, we want to tell God how to run things, but the fact of the matter is He's told us how to do things. And we need to be willing to follow His way. You can come to the altar today and maybe you need to get something right with the Lord. Don't worry what other people may be thinking. What's important is that you, when you leave this auditorium, are on the right ground with Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior. Oh, you've been to churches and you've had religion, but do you have Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? We'll give you that opportunity to come this morning and to get it right with the Lord. We'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you need to do to accept Him as your Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we're able to gather here, and Lord, to look into Your Word. Help us, Lord, to show our faith. Help us, Lord, to be willing to serve You faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.